Welcome everyone to the COVID-19 and the pandemic recession webinar on perspectives and tips for solo practitioners. We're really excited today to have Catherine Myers, Tyler Bailey, Derek Swindell, and Greg Steele talk about their perspectives as solo practitioners. At this time, I'm just gonna let our speakers go ahead and introduce themselves. Catherine.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm so happy to join this panel and have this chance to have some community with you guys. I started the Catherine R. Myers Law Firm. Next month, it'll be a year. Also, next month will also be 6 years that I've been practicing law. I came out the gate saying I wanted to be a criminal defense attorney. Most of my cases at this point are family law, but close after that are criminal cases. I'm located in downtown Columbia, and I'm excited to share.
Hey, everybody. So I'm Tyler Bailey. I started my law firm, Bailey Law Firm, in 2014, immediately after law school, being sworn in as a member of the bar. I practice here in Columbia and throughout the entire state, and I primarily focus on personal injury from the plaintiff's side, workers' compensation, civil litigation, and criminal defense, and just a small bit of family court work, which I will be transitioning out of very soon. But I'm happy to be on this call with everybody, this webinar, and I look forward to hearing the wisdom from a lot other lawyers who are more seasoned and wise than I am myself.
Hello, everyone. I'm Derek Swindell. I'm a solo practitioner here in Columbia, South Carolina, through the Swindell Firm, LLC. My practice focuses on estate planning, tax resolution, advising small businesses on operational and transactional issues. I have an ongoing relationship with Jolly Law Group, which focuses primarily on high net worth estate planning and then advising healthcare practitioners. So I do that as well, just to supplement their tax and transactional advising. I've been doing it since 2016, and I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone else's experience has been during this kind of tough time.
Hey, y'all. I'm Greg Steele. I am a solo practitioner. I own and run Greg Steele Law in Anderson, South Carolina. I actually opened up my doors literally 1 week before the governor shut restaurants down. So I am a pretty brand new firm. I've been in practice for about 2 months in my own law firm. I've been sworn into the bar for 3.5, going on 4 years now. And I do mainly family estate planning, and I've been working in some personal injury car wreck type cases as well here lately. So that's my practice.
Thank you all for introducing yourselves. I guess let's start with our first question is, how are you or how have you been handling client visits, client consultations with social distancing, with all the guidance we're getting from government officials? Tyler, do you want to kick us off there?
Yeah, sure. So really, I've been leading off. So whenever a potential new client calls us, we tell them that we can handle consultations by video conference, by way of Zoom, phone conference. And if they really want to come in, we do make it available for them to come into the office for an in-person consultation. It's been kind of awkward. So during my in-person consultation, there's a very large conference table downstairs. I will be at the very one end of the conference table, and the client or potential client is all the way on the other one. So it's like literally 6-7 feet between us, but we're clearly social distancing. So it works out. A lot of my older potential clients, they still want to do face-to-face meetings. I've been, I prefer to do them by the way of Zoom right now, but I'm realizing there is a demographic who just wants to actually meet and see their lawyer they're going to be hiring. As far as my current clients, they've been real good with phone calls still, just as long as they're made abreast what's going on in their case, and some Zoom conferences. I actually have a Zoom conference with a client prepared for a motion hearing this afternoon at 3:30. So it's actually been more efficient being able to really streamline who has to come in and handling some routine client matters by just phone calls or video conferences. And Zoom's been a blessing in disguise that's been revealed, I believe, through this, for my practice at least, through this whole COVID-19 crisis. And it's been a way for us to keep in contact with our clients and keep the practice moving and cases moving.
Great, thank you. Catherine, Greg, Derek, anything to add? Any other thoughts?
Yeah, sure. So, and Greg, doing estate planning work, you've probably run into this as well, but we actually have to be in person to get things signed, a witness, and notarized still. We haven't had all those requirements waived yet. So I've probably had a signing that I'll remember for the rest of my career. We did it in the garage of a healthcare practitioner, and the conference table that he was signing on was a play school picnic table, which he fit in very poorly. So that's probably the classiest signing that I'll ever have throughout my career, is a play school picnic table in a client's garage.
I've done something similar with clients. I've been doing, but right next to my office is a little alleyway. So I've been what I've been calling social distance will signings. Take all those documents. I have a fold out table, a big bottle of hand sanitizer, and a stack of wipes, and wiping down pens the table in between, just kind of having them come up one at a time, me coming up afterwards, and doing it that way. There's been, I think, particularly in Anderson, there's been a move toward kind of shifting back to normal in the last week or two. I've had more clients say, hey, I'd like to just come in and maybe do that from a distance in the office when the weather's not good. But I still, like Tyler, been trying to say, let's do as much at a distance as we can. And we'll find creative ways to make it work. And clients have seemed to appreciate that.
Greg, just to follow up there, where are your witnesses standing? Are they outside?
Oh, that was the other fun thing. So I had, I have a little office suite, and I'm renting out one of the offices to a local photographer and friend. So, and his wife has been sent to work from home, and they live so far out in Anderson County that they don't have internet at their home. So she's been coming in to work from home from our office. So I've had them sign from inside the window of the office, looking out into the alley, and then the client will come out in the alley, and I'll be out there too, so they can kind of actually see the signing, but be from the other side of the window.
Sorry about that. So yeah, I think with the client visit, COVID-19, like, I've been such a news person that I'm scared. I don't want to have face-to-face if we don't have to. But with family law and with having to have wet signatures, I have to meet with clients to get them to sign documents. And so, like Tyler, I'll go in the conference room, give us the space we need. I'll ask them to bring their mask. I'll have my mask. And then another challenge has been getting the notary or the witness for the signatures. And so I'm lucky that I'm in an office suite, and lucky, like Greg, there are other people around, so I can get a notary. But my paralegal right now is kind of taking a break, if you will. So I don't want to wear out, you know, someone else's paralegal. So I've been kind of using the bank too to get notaries.
What type of new technology are you all using? I heard Zoom earlier. Is there any other new technologies you started implementing during this pandemic?
I use Google Meet just because that's where that's what's powering my email. So it's integrated with my calendar and everything else. So it works really well. I've also found things that clients could have been doing the whole time, they're a lot more willing to do now. So I have a messenger through my practice management software, and they're much more willing to use the messenger, which really has nothing to do with, you know, the pandemic. They're just more open to things. And I've been using Calendly to schedule meetings, which has taken a lot off my plate, where we don't have to play the I'm available at 2, are you? And then they come back and say, oh, no, but 3, does that work for you? So just using some tools that were already there that we don't really have to be using because of the pandemic, but just people seem more willing in general to adopt new technologies right now.
Right. And then the courts are using WebEx. At least family courts are using that, and Common Pleas Courts is using it, at least here in Richland County, for hearings. So I had to create an account on there, give myself a little tutorial, but it wasn't that difficult. It's very similar to Zoom and any other video conference, you know, we may have used before. So it's just like that video conference piece that I think is new with clients. I think it's not that big unless I have to show them evidence in a case, and that's like criminal cases. But with the courts, video conferencing has been huge. with mediations, video conferencing has been huge, and then with depositions too.
Yeah, I recently mediated a case where mediators here in Columbia, one of the adjuster was in Florida, and my client was in Tennessee. And in the past, it would have been madness trying to get everybody together, live in-person mediation. We had the mediation by way of Zoom, and the case settled. So I think that video conferencing, all the, you know, WebEx, Zoom, it's actually, I think, allowing cases to move quicker than they usually would. In the past, there would have been, that would have been a motion hearing between opposing counsel and I, and me trying to say the adjuster needs to come in person for the mediation rather than stream in by way of video. So I think, like Derek mentioned, everybody being more open to using technology. In the past with mediations, I would have objected and kicked and screamed about an adjuster streaming in by way of video. So I think that's one benefit that technology has shown during this crisis right now.
Do any of you think that there will be lasting change to this? Are you now more comfortable using that type of technology or having virtual mediation than you otherwise would? Or when this is over, are you going to get back in and file those motions?
I feel like it's up to the Supreme Court, because the leeway that we've been given has come from Supreme Court orders or Supreme Court memos or amendments to Supreme Court orders and memos. And I do think us as lawyers have a role to play, though, because, you know, what if we got a petition, or what if we called up, you know, the justices and kind of said what our pleasure was, or at the next conference? But I think it's really up to what the Supreme Court does.
Yeah, I think so as well. It's up to the Supreme Court, but I think they're also going to probably survey other, you know, members of the bar, see how they like certain things. As far as the mediation rule about live in person and everybody's come to mediations for on civil cases, I think I would be more comfortable doing it on certain cases that are extremely high in value, because it's just a more efficient way to get it done. Now, the more complex the case is, and I think, you know, being able to sit across a table and, you know, give your arguments to insurance adjuster and opposing counsel, I think there's benefit in it. But I think that the objective is we want to move, in my practice, personal injury lawyer, as a trial lawyer, is cases do not need to sit on the docket forever. We want to move those cases through our court system quickly. So I think that video conferencing for mediation is a good way to get it done. It's a cost-effective way to get it done, and allows, you know, litigants to have their mediation, and if it's not successfully settled, then they can move forward for trial date. So I hope they do make some leeway maybe to allow that to happen. And probably I think it would be good for the lower courts, the magistrate courts too, because a lot of, you have pro se litigants who are filing things, and they do have mediation there as well. I think it would be really efficient to have video conference for pro se litigants so they can quickly have their magistrate disputes resolved.
Shifting gears just a little bit away from how you've been serving clients and through social distancing and what technology you've been using, what type of new clients have you been looking for in the pandemic? How are you reaching out to clients? How are you showing that you've got this expertise? Where are you going for new clients? Those types of questions. And let's start with Derek here.
Sure. So I found over the last few months, my new clients haven't actually been new clients. It's been new matters or different types of matters for existing clients, because a lot of my clients have asked questions or asked me to help them with certain transactions or documents that they probably wouldn't have before. And I think that's just them in general experiencing a lot of uncertainty and wanting that sounding board and wanting to feel sure about something. So in the past, if they had a contract with a vendor or something, they might have just reviewed it themselves and signed off on it. But I'm seeing a lot more of those head over to me to say, hey, I'd like to get your thoughts and your input on this contract. And a lot of times, you know, there's not a whole lot to do if it's kind of just a standard agreement, but they want to feel good about something and they want to feel certain about something. Whereas they can't do that with a lot of other aspects of their business. And on that same hand, I with small business owners, a lot of times they're going, and they don't have time to slow down and take a pause or take a breath. And a lot of these people I've been telling for years, hey, we need to get a will in place for you, a power of attorney in place for you, maybe a trust in place for you. What happens if you get sick, you know? And they've said, I don't have time to do it. But the pandemic has kind of put that to their forefront. So for me, it's there haven't actually been new client relationships that I've had to seek out right now. It's been serving existing clients in new ways.
Anyone else have thoughts on how they've looked to serve existing clients in new ways or find new clients during the pandemic?
I'll add into that one. I was talking to a group of like lawyer friends, and we were talking about like the obvious need for employment lawyers during this time period. And I think that's kind of like really looking at COVID-19 like head on, you know, people who are losing their jobs, people who are requesting leave, people who are told to return to work but don't feel comfortable returning to work. So it's kind of like that employment law, I think, would really be a great area. But for me, that's an area that I intentionally kind of have stepped away from recently. So because of COVID-19, I didn't want to just pick up that area of law just because of COVID-19. But indirectly, lawyers, just like everyone else, we have a lot more time on our hands. For people who are working, our extracurricular activities are gone for the most part. Or for people who aren't working, they definitely have more time on their hands. So with that, I think people, I read an article about divorces are up, and I've definitely got a lot more calls for divorces and in family law. I think people just are having more time to think in general. And it's like, well, what's that thing that I always said I wanted to get done? Or in particular, that divorce article, it was talking about in that day-to-day routine of life, sometimes spouses don't have time to have those serious conversations that they need to have. And now with COVID-19, they're having those conversations.
Yeah, one thing I'll say is I've realized, kind of like Derek, existing clients having new, but I've also realized a decline in incoming phone calls, because even for personal injury cases, criminal defense cases, job injury cases, and my clients haven't been calling to check on the status of the case as much either. So I think maybe they are preoccupied and they're worried about just everyday life, and some of them are even thinking about, hey, I need to call a lawyer to work on this case right now. I've been reminding people that we're still open, we're still here to serve them for their legal needs on social media and things like that. But I think there is a segment of the population who's just really just worried about life in general. And so they're not thinking about some legal matters. Now, it's common sense if you're inside the house with your spouse all day and you realize after 5 years of marriage, 8 years of marriage, that you don't like who you're married to, let me call a divorce lawyer.
Right.
But some other matters, I think, are not at the top of their radar for things, unfortunately.
And that's sort of a good, and unless Derek or Greg has something to add, that's a good segue into the next question I wanted to ask, which is, how have your clients' expectations changed? Are they, it sounded like from Tyler that clients are calling less, they're less hurried about trying to get their cases resolved. Are all of you having that same effect where clients are no longer calling you every week, checking in on the case? Or are you having the opposite effect where clients are because they have free time, are they more willing or have more time to think about their matters and calling you a lot more? Or is there bigger just financial pressure? Let's start with Catherine here.
Right. I think for me, in general, I felt more calls, and I feel like a little bit more like clients want check-ins. And I think that the reason is because everyone knows what's happening with COVID-19 and what's happening with the courthouses in general. But I think my clients may now have a presumption that I'm not working. And so because of that, they want to make sure that their case is getting worked on. And so for me, that's caused me, kind of like how Derek mentioned, to just kind of use tools that I already have And I've been more intentional about making sure clients know what's happening, what I'm doing, what I'm valuing. You know, I'm sending emails, I'm sending letters. So I've been more intentional on them seeing kind of through that, I guess, curtain of me working and them getting the result. I'm kind of letting them see how the sausage is made a little more, and just kind of giving them more updates. Not necessarily telephone updates, but just through the system I use, I can share with them. But I think this time period is also kind of showing that divide between people who have computers, people who have smartphones, and then people who have just kept up with technology. And that may be a divide along age, that might be a divide along socioeconomic status. But I think, kind of going back to our earlier question, I think some of these changes are great for people who have smartphones and who have computers and who have email addresses. But when I go to the court and I'm requesting a video conference, if my client doesn't have an email, then they're gonna have to come to my office anyway, and then we do the video conference at my office, which isn't a problem, but it's just, it's not kind of taking advantage of technology in that way. And then I think another thing I was gonna mention with kind of like their expectations too is I kind of sent out an announcement to all my clients when COVID-19 happened, and I let them know, hey, we're working remotely, the courts are closed for the most part. And so now I'm gonna send a new announcement to them, letting them know that things are happening through video conference. So I'm a little nervous because I think I might get even more calls once I do that update.
We've got a question from Lauren here. Wondering, how have you been handling clients who've lost some or all of their income and are having issues paying you? Open it up to the panel, whoever wants to run with that question.
I was gonna say, Catherine and I had a conversation probably right before it everything really hitting, whether she was asking if I was still going to invoice clients. And I told her that I was still going to invoice clients, and I've encouraged them, if there's an issue, talk to me about it. I think that's, for my practice, the best way to get it done. I think that they're going to want updates from me, and they believe it's important. So I'm still going to invoice them. And if they can't pay, I'm always going to work with my clients too. But I like to stay on my clients' mind. They like to stay on my mind. So, you know, I still invoice clients, and I still have to have a newborn baby I have to take care of. I have a house. So, and there's no stimulus check for business owners. There's PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, and maybe some other relief, but it has to be paid back. So, yeah, I still invoice my clients. I'm coming from a sympathetic point of view. If they tell me, hey, Tyler, I can't make, you know, I know my payment was this X amount of dollars a month, I can only do this, is that a problem? It's not a problem at all. As long as they're willing to do something, I understand it's a time all of us need to be considerate of people's financial situations, including our own financial situations.
Catherine?
Right, yeah, I reached out to Tyler. I reached out to about two or three other one wasn't solo, but other young lawyers. And I particularly asked, you know, should I expect to get paid from my clients? Like, that's the first thing I thought about, even before I thought about me paying my own expenses. But what I ended up doing, taking their advice together, was I send out invoices, and then I have a note on the invoice, like a coronavirus note, which is similar to what Wells Fargo and all these other businesses have on their websites. I have a little note, and I say, reach out to me, you know, if you're having a problem making a payment. But see, for me, the reality is someone not making their payment this month or next month is not what's going to put me under. It would be a client who's habitually not been paying their bill way before the coronavirus happened anyway. And then I have the pressure of, do I petition a court to be relieved of counsel during coronavirus for someone who hasn't been paying their bill way before the coronavirus even started?
I would just add that depending on who you have that handles your credit card processing or your e-check processing, most of those platforms or your practice management platform probably has the recurring payment option there. I've had a couple clients that have asked for that. I'm like, yeah, that's not a problem at all. If we just need to break it up into small chunks over the next 12 months, I don't really care. You know, I want you to feel good right now, because back to what Catherine was saying about how the actual impact of billing or not billing that client who's in distress, I'm a lot happier with a client that may pay me half of what I billed them originally over the next 12 months, but is going to tell everyone and their friends, hey, Derek really helped me out when I was having a hard time. Yeah, I trust him. You should talk to him. I think that's going to pay a lot more dividends than trying to pursue those fees. And that's a regular kind of conversation I think that comes up on the solo and small law firm listserv, is what do you do when someone doesn't pay your bill? And there's a lot of good advice over there, but a lot of the advice kind of trends towards, unless it's someone that you don't think is really going to burn any of your future bridges, then maybe you just kind of have to eat it after you've nudged them so many times.
Okay. Let's shift gear. Thank you all for that. I thought those were really good answers. Let's shift gear a little bit to work-life balance and think about, have you reassessed your work-life balance based on the last few months? How has your mindset changed on work-life balance? Let's go with Greg here.
Yeah, so coming in to starting my own practice, I kind of very much thought, hey, I'm one of the things before opening up is I was spending a lot of time doing my actual day job. And then in the evenings, getting ready to open up my own practice. And I was kind of looking forward to, okay, all of life is going to come together and I'm going to have one job and the things I'm thinking about side of work and within work are going to kind of merge together. And as I'm sure a lot of other people were, I really struggled emotionally with my mental health those first couple weeks of COVID, particularly just opening up a business. And I realized at the very beginning, I have to set some pretty strict boundaries. So one of the things that I've done much more sharply than I ever did in any job before, and even than I expected here, is when I'm off, I'm off. So I've made sure that basically at this point, weekends are weekends. Friday, when I turn off my work laptop, and I'm not going to check email until Monday morning. And if I go home for the evening, I'm going to make sure that everything's shut off and I'm going to pick it back up the next morning to do that. I think I somewhat have the luxury of that. I don't have a huge client load just starting out. And I've set that expectation with clients. You know, I'm not always going to be able to respond at 8 p.m. in the evening. I'm going to get back with you in 24 to 48 hours. And so far that has worked well, both for dealing with clients, but also for my own health and being able to say, okay, I'm disconnecting. I'm definitely just, I can't think about this right now. I have to focus on other things. My wife, family, read, watch Netflix, do something that actually disconnects than thinking about this 24/7.
Other thoughts, other input on this question?
I would say, Greg, I think that's great. You know, that's exactly where I was before COVID-19. And so for me, it was easy to make that divide, because when I left work, it would be like, oh, there's a happy hour. Oh, there's a young lawyer event. Oh, I'm gonna go hang with my friends and family. I'm gonna go catch a movie. I'm gonna go to the mall. I'm gonna go, like, happy hour, I think, is an easy thing. Happy hour with friends, happy hour with colleagues. And so when all those things closed down, for me, I would be done with work. But then because I didn't have all those activities anymore, my mind wouldn't leave work. And so I was struggling in that way. I also moved my office home, like you mentioned that you did. And it was torture seeing my computer and printer in my living room every time I went downstairs. And I just really felt like the work-life balance that I had fought so hard for, even before I entered private practice, was just, it was gone. So for me, I had to make some conscious decisions of, number one, I'm going to move my office back to my office. But that also was a financial decision. So I got that SBA loan and was able to use it to pay my rent for May, because I wasn't sure if that was going to happen. So when that came through, I used my office for my office. And when I go home, I've had to be intentional with, well, I'm going to take a walk in the park. or I'm going to plan this Saturday to drive up to another city and go to a park there. But it's definitely been intentional, kind of trying to create that work-life balance. And I just wanted to throw out that it was very hard for me too, because like Tyler mentioned, I practice around the state. So I went from driving easily 500 miles a month to all these different counties, all these different courthouses, speaking to deputies and clerks, to being in one room all day, every day, which happened to be my house. And so it was just so stark. I ended up reaching out, you know, to lawyers helping lawyers and said, you know, I just want to kind of talk about this transition. Like, this is really hard. And so that really kind of helped me too. And the biggest advice that was given to me in that session was I just have to define a new normal and create a new routine. So that's what I've been trying to do.
And I would just add it. That was harder for me in not having that community outside of myself. I also actually reached out to lawyers helping lawyers to definitely want to plug that service as part of your bar membership. It's hugely helpful. But as part of that too, to break it up, I would intentionally leave the house with my dog and call a friend at pretty much every single night. I would, and if one friend wouldn't answer, I would just go down my list of contacts until I got someone, and I would walk around my neighborhood. Thankfully, I have a really walkable neighborhood, and talk to that friend and enjoy time out in nature with the dog. And that was kind of how I broke it up and said, okay, this is my transition from that printer that's sitting right there next to the living room chair to, okay, now is the evening. Now is a time when I need to be able to disconnect.
Similar type of question. Have family demands changed significantly during the pandemic? Tyler?
Yeah, well, my plans have definitely changed significantly. My wife's also a lawyer, and so we're both working from home. My home office is upstairs, hers is downstairs. We have a newborn. And so in the past, you know, when we were at work, the babies in childcare, I would drop son off and I could work later into the evening. Now with both of us here, I could be working, and then my wife will come knock on his door and come pop a baby in my hand. So it's been sporadic. It's not as structured as it used to be. Like when I'm at work, now everything's blended. And it's been nice to see. I realized my son's growing up before my eyes, so I've been enjoying the time I'm spending at home with my family. But I will say it has been challenging, just having sometimes when in the middle of work, next thing you know, you have to change a diaper. But the good thing I realized is everybody's working from home. So if I'm on the phone with opposing counsel, I may hear a baby in the background of their house. They may hear my son in my house. Everybody's uncomfortable and everybody's working in a different situation right now. So family obligations have changed. I can't make the excuses I used to make. Hey, I'm at the office late. I'm helping out more. I'm doing more dishes, changing more diapers. I miss my old excuses. So that's been a big adjustment.
Remember, this is recorded.
Oh man.
Now let's shift a little bit to more of you all as business owners. And one thing that comes to mind is you probably weren't the only one in your office just by yourself. You had staff. Were you able to keep all your staff? If not, how did you maybe furlough your staff or reduce hours? How did you handle staff during this pandemic? Let's start with Catherine here.
Well, I feel like in my situation, I just ended up getting really lucky because my paralegal was looking for a second opportunity that she had already secured. So we had already talked about how we would do like a 3 or 4 month furlough anyway. And so that's kind of like where we are. So that for me has taken financial pressure off of my practice, but it's brought on new pressure, you know, like with drafting and putting things in the calendar. And I don't know about y'all, but I think it's the most awkwardest thing for me to answer the phone and schedule someone for a consultation, because I'm talking to them right then, you know, it's like they want to have the consultation right then and there, but I'm the scheduler and the attorney. So I'm getting back to working with that dynamic and really using my technology. I know Derek mentioned Calendly. I'm not particularly using that, but I'm using a system through my website. So now if someone calls and leaves a voicemail, I text them back, thanks so much for calling, to schedule a consultation, follow this link. So it kind of creates that divide between me being the paralegal and the attorney. But right now, I think the biggest focus is the lessening the financial burden. So one way is having the furlough of my one staff member right now, but also by me taking the steps in my personal life to furlough my mortgage, my car note, and then my student loans were automatically furloughed. That was a tremendous help.
My paralegal, she lives in Greenville, so she would travel down to Columbia every day. And she's also a mother and a wife, has three kids. And so I was monitoring everything with the virus since probably December, January. And so I went ahead and put a plan in place. I said probably starting March 1st that we were going to shut the office down and she was going to work from home. And I always saved a bunch of, anytime I settled a big case or I brought in some money to the firm, I always try to put at least 40% of it away, because you never know, you know, what the future is going to be like as a solo practitioner. And so thankfully I did have savings, so I could even look at my operating account, look at our savings. I could still pay my staff for an entire year or 6 months if I had to without any money coming in. So I was committed to make sure she was still going to be paid. Even if that meant I was going to cut down some of my own pay. Thankfully, you know, the government has programs out there like the Paycheck Protection Program, the Economic Disaster Loan that they have in place. And so I applied for those programs, but I was still planning to pay my staff. Technology has been great. We have Zoom meetings every morning. Like I said, I'm working from home, so sometimes I call her. I hear her kids in the background, so I'm considerate of that. I also have an answering service that funnels the calls to her first. So the answer is, if a client calls our office, they get our answering service, then they will patch them through to my paralegal assistant in Greenville. And then she will know if I'm in our computer system, whoever's on the phone, and then they get patched through to me. It's three ways, but I mean, it still allows everybody to work home from remotely. And I'm still in a position that I've been able to pay staff. So I don't count that. Like, I just blessed to be able to do that.
I am a true solo, so I am on my own. I will say that I did the first week I was kind of overwhelmed with phone calls before kind of Corona really sank in. So I had started a free trial with a virtual receptionist service, and then literally my phone calls just dropped off a cliff that second week. So I canceled them, and I've been true solo since. That was my only kind of staff, quasi staff that I had. But we'll see about bringing them back as things go on. I had talked to someone about possibly coming on as a paralegal. After going back and forth with that person, we decided that they needed the security of their job a little more. And I needed to see how business was going to go, and that turned out to be an excellent decision given everything that had happened. And they're still thankfully happily in their other position. But as far as staff, I think I really admire you guys who have staff and how you're figuring out how to deal with that. Cause I think it would be really hard to have to try to run those numbers versus saying, okay, well, I have just this virtual assistant kind of through a third party. It's not like there's an individual person. They're contracted through that.
Derek, do you got staff?
No. So all the staff I utilize, my actual office space, I'm co-located with a CPA firm. And so people on the front end coming through to come through the door or whatever, that I share administrative staff there. So they're W-2 employees underneath the CPA firm. And then that service is kind of handled through my rent. So I've not had to handle any employee issues directly. All my dealings with that has been advising other small business owners on it.
Let me ask this, Derek, what has been the, and everyone chime in too, what has been the biggest challenge as a business owner during the pandemic? What is your biggest worry?
Sure. So I think my biggest challenge has been managing the lack of pressure that comes from deadlines. So I don't know how everyone else works, but it's really easy for me to gear up and knock something out when I know, hey, we got a 30-day letter from the IRS. This needs to be turned around by such and such a date. Or, you know, this business is planning for this launch, so they need to have this stuff in place by a date. I think overall my clients have been a lot more lenient with like when they actually want to see things turned around. So I've kind of had to self-impose some of those deadlines so I can get things geared up and out the door. So I think the challenge has been with the lack of outside pressure, putting that pressure on myself internally, which that might just be a function of, you know, how I view things and work. Yeah, I was always a procrastinator in school. So maybe that's just stuff following through there. And then my biggest worry has probably been the signings that I've done and thinking that what if I am a vector for this virus and I go and execute this signing, even though we do social distancing and we wipe everything down and I'm wearing a mask and they're wearing a mask, what if I wind up being the one that transmits this? And that's been a concern. There's not really anything, you know, I think we can do at this point other than if we can delay signing off on these things, we delay it and just avoid the issue altogether. But that's probably been my actual biggest concern as a business owner and as a person. What if some function of what I'm doing is a reason that this person winds up getting sick?
Yeah, I would say it's just the whole uncertainty of the time right now. So not being able to gauge, you know, what the next 6 months or year is going to look like as a solo practitioner, that's always a concern. You know, you don't know how business is going to be next quarter or, you know, the holiday time this year. So I've been trying to manage my own mental state with that. And for example, I met with a client last night at 6:30 and my wife was, and they said, I thought you were close.
Yeah, it seems like we lost him.
Well, I don't mind jumping in until he gets unfrozen. But I was going to say, for me, like, I totally echo what Derek said about when the courts kind of closed, like, I just kind of didn't know what to do. Like, I had to go physically go see for myself. And when Richland County Family Court had that garage door down and the chains on the door, like, I literally felt sad because my calendar, almost everything I do in life, kind of, is dictated by the deadline, the next hearing, the next court date. And so without having that, I've also found that it's been hard to find motivation to get to work at 9, to get up at a certain time. But I'm really lucky. Even though I didn't initially want to venture into family law, I'm very grateful that I did because family law is opening back up. And the civil court is opening back up to some extent too. But with family law, I've been able to file motions. I'm sending drafts of temporary orders. Judges have given me deadlines to do that. And to be frank, I just feel like a lawyer again. And for me, I entered private practice because I wanted to be in court. And so the video conference allows me to do that to some extent. And it looks like we got Tyler back. But not being in court makes me feel less of a lawyer.
Sorry about that, y'all. So I'm saying that I met a potential client at 6:30 last night. And my wife was asking why am I meeting with somebody at 6:30 on a Tuesday. And it's the uncertainty of the in my head. I was thinking they're calling now. They may not be calling 2 weeks from now. So, and I think it's really the uncertainty that everybody has out here. I've seen people arguing in grocery stores because I think there's just a pressure. I know people talk about calling lawyers, helping lawyers. There's just pressure of the uncertainty of the times, not knowing what the next 6 months or next will look like. So that's been my biggest challenge, just trying to maintain a sense of zen like Catherine and Greg have about work-life balance and not just trying to jam it all in when I can get it in.
What is something you've learned from or instituted during this time that you're going to just carry forward post-pandemic Catherine. Let's start there.
Well, I kind of mentioned earlier about being like more transparent with all the things that I'm doing. Cause usually it's like, I don't want the clients to see all like the background work. I want them to see the finished product, be happy, come to court and get what they want. But I'm going to continue forward with keeping clients updated as much as I can all along the way with what's happening in their case. So that I think part of it too is because I send monthly invoices, I think they also expect monthly updates. So I'm going to do better at that. And then I think this sense of community, I think I'm going to carry forward. And being in private practice or being in solo private practice this year, I do my best to text and I call every now and then when I have an emergency. But I think I'm going to do a more intentional job of sending a note or making a phone call or scheduling a Zoom meeting with a colleague, because we all are dealing with so many similar challenges and we don't have to do this by ourselves.
I don't know if there's anything in particular that I'll do differently. I think one of the great benefits for me going in was I knew I wanted to run a law firm that was technology forward, that could meet with clients from anywhere, that could access files from anywhere. And so I built those systems in place at the front end. And it just, again, timing worked well to where I have a both practice management system and cloud-based document storage system that I could move home. I knew how to use Zoom and could use that with clients. Again, that accessibility, and I planned that before this pandemic, and the pandemic has made me kind of shift some of those things and have to implement them a little more quickly and rapidly. But I plan to continue to kind of have that flexibility to say, even if we do go back to normal, yeah, there's some things that have to be in paper. Sure, there's some things that I have to meet with clients in person for, but I'm going to be flexible enough to be able to send drafts to clients through my client portal. I'm going to be flexible enough to be able to meet clients over Zoom if they don't want to come into the office. And I plan on continuing doing that after this is all over.
The one big thing that I implemented, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks in was going back to what Catherine mentioned earlier, the motivation aspect, staying on a schedule. I use Trello to track a lot of my products and kind of how they're flowing through my law firm. But I started a list on there that it's called a B list. I made that up. Don't worry about that being doctrine. It's before everything else. So at the end of each day, I add things to that list, and that's where I start. And so as long as I know where my start place is, my day usually turns out pretty productive. But like today, for example, I had a client call me very early. They wanted to talk about a Section 127 tuition assistance, educational assistance plan. And I could have spent 3 hours researching and drafting a plan for them, but I knew I had these other things on my B list. So I went ahead and knocked those out. And then I didn't go down that rabbit hole, which I'm very inclined to do. So like if any of you sent me an article right after this, I would probably read the article, read similar articles to it, and then I would look up and it would be 2 hours later. So that's why I implemented to kind of keep me on track and keep me on a schedule every morning, and I'll keep doing that moving forward.
Have your goals for your firm changed? Has the pandemic offered you more time for reflection to think about where you want to move your firm going forward? Let's start with you, Greg.
I've told a lot of people this story. I've been planning for my practice for a long time, for about 6 years before I opened it. I started my third year of law school, and I just knew that there were some other things that I needed to do, some experience I needed to get before I was ready for it personally. But I had a very distinct plan of what my firm was going to look like, and the pandemic really shook that up. To me, the biggest thing is how it shifted my goals and plans for my firm is being flexible and being willing to take the opportunities that appear in front of you. When I started out, I planned to be primarily a basically just a family law firm with a little bit of estate planning worked in, and then turned out estate planning was what really was coming in during the early stages of the pandemic. So I ended up doing a lot more of that. And then I had an older lawyer locally call me and say, there's kind of this recurring contract for a company to do some work for them in the civil litigation world. And I think you'd probably be a good fit. And I said, well, I wasn't really planning on doing that. He said, I'll help you figure that out. I think it'd get you some revenue. I think you could move forward. I think your experience as a federal law clerk could really help you with that and make you a good fit for this. So it's kind of being open and flexible. And I've taken a lot, actually borrowed a lot from my office mate, who's a photographer. He's been a business owner. He started his own business about a year and a half ago. And he started as a wedding photographer. He was going to market himself as a wedding photographer. Then he moved to real estate photography. Then he, right before all this, he was going to launch a kind of print shop for that was kind of niche photographic prints of small towns. And then when this hit, he found real estate kind of picked back up. So he went back into some real estate. And I think there is a fault in being a door lawyer and taking in every single thing that walks through your door. I think you do have to be discerning, but I think I underestimated the ability to be flexible and to allow my firm to grow and change and be shaped beyond the image I had for it when I opened up my doors. Kind of like Catherine was saying earlier, I expected to be a criminal defense attorney, but I ended up practicing in family court a lot. I planned to be a family court attorney, and then I've been doing a lot of wills and power of attorney and even some civil litigation. So that's the biggest thing for me, is that your business is never static. Your goals are never static. You kind of have to morph and adapt as life hits you and the world hits you.
Yeah, one thing for me, I was looking at buying a pretty large office space, and I got into a bidding war over it probably about 2 months ago, and I lost out on it right before the crisis started. And I was pretty mad when I lost out on it. And I ride by that building, which I'm not going to say where it is. I feel bad for the guy who beat me out on the deal, because it's a big commercial space is nice, but it's really more best for other businesses to become tenants of it. And I think that I realized, just for my own goals, that as far as the work that we do, it actually can be done a lot more frequently remotely. So I think as far as solo practitioners, there is benefit in having your own office set up. But I think the old school mentality that you need to have a certain big building with your big sign out front, and you may not even have all the rooms occupied, that may not be the best financial investment. I'm looking more so as the law firm, as a business, how can we exist in the efficient way to best serve our clients? Not necessarily the old school mentality of everybody saying that you need this big office space, when it really, if you can do stuff remotely, if you can have a mediation remotely, you're not actually going to have your conference room always packed out. There's a more efficient way to do it. I know there's one large personal injury law firm in the state that has gone all work from home remotely now. And so I think that my goals of, and my mentality of moving forward of what the practice and my practice look like, is going to look like in 5 years, I think this has sped it up. I think that some commercial real estate, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to bounce back. And I think that video conferencing is going to be something that's implemented it in practice to stay. And so I think that that's something that me as a solo practitioner, that we've solo practitioners, should be conscious of too.
Yeah, I just wrote down kind of 4 points for me that I've learned. One thing is, I realized that my business clients continue to pay their invoices instantly. And it kind of made me think, you know, maybe I could make a shift towards having more business clients versus individuals whose income is dependent on their employer. So that kind of stood out to me. I wanted to have an established practice area when I started, but I said I'll be open for my first year. So June 10th is my 1 year anniversary. And I have the 3 sticky notes for the 3 practice areas that I'm going to only do. Well, as a result of COVID-19, I'm not going to have those strict three. I'm going to continue to remain flexible into my second year. The third thing I love to hear Tyler hit on it is building up my reserve. And I kind of felt that way in February. So the month before, you know, COVID became real for us, I said, you know what, I need to build up my reserve. And I did it. I set an amount, I exceeded that amount, and I was feeling great. And then when COVID-19 hit, it just chipped away. So now I don't have my reserve, but at least I still have, you know, money to pay all my overhead. But I'm going to be more intentional and not take for granted that I'm going to have business every month. And I think the fourth point I've learned from COVID-19 is I've learned how many cases I can handle by myself. So it was one thing how many cases, you know, I could handle with help, with a paralegal, but I've been able to find that sweet spot of the number of cases I can take on, which helps me with being able to say no once I start getting to that number.
And let's just go, I guess, with what I would probably say our last question. Have you reconsidered, has the pandemic caused you to reconsider your decision to be a solo practitioner, to go work for a firm or state agency, or has it reassured you, like, yes, I made the right decision, I'm still here? Greg, since you started your firm a week before everything shut down, let's just start with you.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely reconsidered it. Because I left my work and then they had known I was leaving, but they didn't post the job for the state until right around the time I was leaving. And about I think it was the Sunday after everything had shut down was the closing date for literally the posting for my job at DSS that I had left. And I logged in and I stared at that job posting for about 10 minutes. And said, should I reapply? I know that my old boss would take me back. I knew she'd put in a good word. I knew that the regional director didn't want me to see me leave. I knew I could do it. And I'd invested a lot in the startup, but I said, you know, is it now time to cut my losses and go back to that stable state pay, stable insurance, all that? And my wife was actually a huge encouragement. She went and said, you know, this has been your dream for 6 years. You can't quit a week in. You have to figure out if this is going to work. And if you don't, if you still hate this 2-3 years from now, yeah, like I'll fully support you if you want to go back to DSS or some other state agency or some other public service or firm job. But right now, you can't judge what your law practice is going to look like by this unprecedented global pandemic. So that it was definitely tempting for me. And it was really, really rough for about a month, month and a half. But as I've gotten deeper in, as more clients have been calling me, as I've been able to serve more people, I've realized, you know, there's a reason I wanted to be a solo practitioner. There's a reason my dream for so many years was to open up a practice in Anderson as a solo practitioner. I love the community of Anderson and want to be able to serve people here. Born and raised here, wanted to move back home, and that's why I'm here. So I definitely reconsidered that, but I'm glad I stuck it out. I'm glad I didn't reapply for that, as my boss, who I'm still very good friends with, often she tells me, you know, if you want to come back at any time, there's probably going to be a job opening. There's, you know, and we'll be happy to have you back. But I don't think that that's what I need to, where I need to be at right now in my practice. I will also just say I actually have a client meeting that they got here a little early. I was trying to leave myself a little bit of buffer. Got to go serve those clients. Thank you guys for having me. It's been great learning from you guys. And I look forward to listening to the last little bit of what you guys have to say at a later time.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks.
Yeah, Jeff, I would say I didn't think about it. You know, I'm all in. I started my practice right after law school, and I probably, if I went to go apply somewhere, they probably would say I've developed some bad habits working on my own anyway. So, but I've always worked for myself since I got out of law school, I could not see myself working for a state agency. Definitely not. Private practice, it would just be such a culture shock for me. I don't think I would fit in well working at another firm. So, you know, I started off from law school from the bottom, as I call it, and I think I'm too deep to turn around now. And I doubt that anybody will want me as their employee. So I'm
I'm probably in the no camp as well, Jeff, because so throughout the changes that we've had over the last few months, the ability to make decisions quickly whenever you need to make a decision, and having the authority to move forward on it, I don't think that you could really find that in an organization with more than three or four principals, probably. And even then, you might have a different decision than someone else. And whether that's how you're going to do meetings or how you're going to do client intake or whatever it is, I think I've kind of seen a pretty big premium on having that decision-making authority. So unless, Jeff, you want to both go over to the IRS and share a condo in DC for a few years on that three-year obligation, you know, maybe I would buddy up with you just so that we would have, you know, someone to go to museums with. But other than that, I don't think I'm going to transition to a large firm or state agency anytime soon.
Yeah, I felt kind of like Greg. I didn't go in a, you know, look at an application, but I will say for half a second, I thought about, whoa, wouldn't it be nice to have guaranteed income, you know, right now from a full-time job? But I couldn't help but think, I would be there, and as soon as COVID-19 is over, I would be out, you know? And I don't think that would be fair to myself or to the employer or to my current client, because all the reasons that I wanted to be an entrepreneur still exist. And just because it's scary and just because it's uncertain right now, you know, that's actually part of the thrill of it, right? Because that's not what we would have at a firm or not what we would have at a state agency. But for a half second, I did think about it. I'm kind of lucky too in that one of my bosses is still my mentor. And so, you know, she and I talk, and I can just imagine if I went to her and said, can you hire me back full time? The first thing she would say is, Catherine, you said that you wanted trial experience, and that's something this position doesn't offer. What's changed now? And I would just have to say, you know, you're right.
Well, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful place to end. Thank you all so much for taking time to discuss and provide your insight on being a solo practitioner during the pandemic. So thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff, can I ask one question of you? Has this COVID-19 crisis made you, as far as in your practice, think as a young lawyer, just I haven't talked to anybody from a bigger firm, has it changed your practice any? Other, I know you mentioned things speeding up, but any other aspects?
It is, I would say, and for those that don't know, I work for Nelson Mons. I would say it changed your perspective on being more flexible. A lot of what you all are thinking on, where am I going to get my work? How am I going to find work to make sure that I stay busy through this? How am I going to reach out, find new clients? From that perspective, I was already pretty diverse in my practice. So I was very fortunate that I hadn't tried to pigeonhole myself, which is easy to do in a big firm, to just say, I want to do this one thing, work for this one partner, these two partners, and do that. And that doesn't really work well in a recession. And so it's made me a little bit more grateful that I work really long hours and stayed busy and stayed flexible and overworked myself. But it hasn't, I wouldn't say it's changed my perspective on big firm versus small firm or going to solo practitioner.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that.
No, it's a fair question. I've been asking a lot of questions of y'all, and you've done a wonderful job answering them, and we've been really fortunate to get your insights. So thanks.
Sure. Thanks. I'll take care.
Bye.
See everybody.
Bye, everyone.